I want to share a couple things with you here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians here for a short bit, and then we're going to move to someplace and then back. Ephesians chapter 4. So I just want to share with you, this is a Christmas season, and we talk about trading gifts and those kind of things, and we always know the greatest gift that's ever given is the gift that God gave to mankind, being His Son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of salvation. But we're also going to talk, I'm going to give you a preview of what we're going to be going through in January. Because we need to key on, if you knew that you were really good at something, you need to know how to tap into that. And we're going to talk about that for a minute. I want to remind you that this letter here is written to the people of Ephesus, the Ephesians. These were a people that was pretty strong. This was a strong church. This was strong believers, very good teachers. And as Paul's writing this, he's beginning to share some things with them. And I want to pick it up in chapter 4. And we know that let me pick it up in 1. Let me read just a few verses here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we go. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then he moves on. He says, but when you ever see but in the Bible, you need to make sure that something important is getting ready to follow. Okay, but to all, or to each of you, I'm sorry, I got a different version. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but we're going to talk about the second part here. And gave gifts to men. You can never outgive God, never outgive God, no matter what you give. God loves to give. And God loves to give. He loves to give salvation. He loves to give forgiveness. He loves to give gifts to us, and he always tells us, we have not because we ask not, we need to ask it. We need to ask the Father, and he will give things. But there are some things that he's given to us, and tonight we're going to talk about one of those. And he goes on, and he says, now, in verse 11, he says, and he himself gave some to be called, some to be pastors or apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to come back to that, to chapter 12. This is an area we're going to talk about gifts tonight. We're going to talk about that God has given to each one of us at least one spiritual gift. If you come to the place in your life where you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, and you have that part, and now you're a child of God, God gives you at least one spiritual gift. It's not a gift that you can make up. It's not a gift that you can create. You can learn certain things, but you can't. But a gift is a gift, okay? And God gives a gift. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, gives a gift to each believer, okay? Why does he do that? Because it says here, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It is for the works of the church. It is the work for people. It is being the body of Christ. So therefore, now, chapter 12 and verse 4, we're going to talk about three different parts of these. Now, this might be a little, we need to talk about some things. Sometimes it seems like they're a little deep. They're not really deep, but sometimes they can be because of the words that we use. But in chapter 12, verse 4, he's going to split these gifts up into three areas, okay? Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? Now I'm reading the New King James Version tonight. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, you might want to use revelation or motivational gifts. Some people use different titles for that. But this says, diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. We're going to go deeper into this later in January on what some of those lists are. This one here in verse 5 says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Okay? Basically, who's giving the gifts? The Lord is giving the gifts. Okay? But there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. These are the power gifts. These are the ministry gifts. Okay? And the third part of it is, in verse 6, it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. These are the speaking gifts, the manifestation gifts, which are those things would manifestation would be signs, events that gives you clarity on what you're doing and what's going on, okay? And we're, like I said, we're just surfacing it. We're surfing over it tonight, okay? And that can be a lot to take in without us getting deeper into that. So we know that there are three different areas of these gifts, but they're all to be uplifting of the church. Verse 11, it says, but one of the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God is the one who gives us the gift. Okay? He gives us a spiritual gift to be used by him, that he might do his works through you for the edifying and the uplifting of his church and his kingdom. These are things that we need to learn about. These spiritual gifts are things that we need to know more about. Okay? Now, we just read one here. There's five of them. Back in Ephesians, one of those is teaching. There have been guys and ladies that have been teaching. You ask somebody to fill in for you. It may not be their gift, but sometimes you can do certain things because you just have to do those things. But you can tell a difference when somebody is gifted with teaching and when someone is not gifted with teaching. Okay? So sometimes we need people to fill in different places. It's not a bad thing. Sometimes we have to work outside of our giftedness. And that's okay, isn't it? And also, let's just respect those who are teaching in that area or the whatever giftedness that they have, whether it be humility. And there's a whole list of them. And like I said, we're just kind of surfacing a little bit about spiritual gifts tonight, all right? But I want to let you know that God has given, the Word says that God has given every believer a spiritual gift. It is stronger than all the other things that you can do. Okay, now it doesn't mean that you have to work it. You have to work it. You get better as you work it, okay? But it's a gift that God's going to use. He'll do special things through you, okay? He'll do some things through you. That's where the giftedness is going to shine, okay? And if God's given you a gift like that, that means he wants to work through you like that. There are men that are called to be pastors and they will not do it. And that's where God wants to shine through them. Okay? But if they don't want to do that, then what they're doing is bucking the Lord, and they're going to struggle and wherever they minister to until they turn their hearts over to where they need to and let God show them and direct them and lead them. And they got to want to. Same thing with teaching. Okay? I think more of us are called to be evangelists. We all share the gospel. We're all supposed to share the gospel. But a person who has the gift of evangelism, they're always talking about salvation. They're always talking about the gospel. It's just in them and it just pours out. Your gift just pours out. But you all need to know that every one of you tonight need to know that you all have, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Okay? Now, we can get into there where Paul begins to talk later on about praying for gifts. But right now, we're talking about that everybody has at least one. Does that always jump out of everybody when they get 12 years old or as soon as they get saved, when they got saved at 15 or 25? Does that mean that spiritual gift is going to shine right out of them right off the bat? Probably not. There's a growing up, which we're getting ready to talk about right now. Verse 11, we're going to reread it again. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Here it is. What if everybody was a teacher? What if everybody was a preacher? There is a diversity of them, and God wants all of those in there. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's a strengthening thing. These gifts are strengthening and being used the way God wants them to be used. But verse 15, we're not going to go through this whole chapter, but verse 15, we're going to skim through. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him. We use these gifts to help us grow up and to help each other grow up. And that you will hear me say it from the pulpit, I'm still growing up in my walk with Jesus. I need to be able to say that I'm still growing up. When a person says they're not continuing to grow in their walk with the Lord, that is a scary place. Okay, we need to know that we're going to continue to grow up. We're going to continue to grow up. And we use these spiritual gifts to help us grow. Okay? Verse 16, and are from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Our spiritual gifts need to have effective work, and we all are supposed to do our part, and we're supposed to share in the workload, whatever your gift may be. Causes growth when you do it God's way. Okay, when you do it God's way, and God supplies it, you're doing the work, and it's effectively, and you're doing every part, does its share. Everybody's doing their share of the workload. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's always an uplifting of love in the body of Christ. So spiritual gifts are very important. They're very important to the Lord. It's almost like when you get saved. Let me take a step back. When you were lost, you're just doing your thing. You're just living life, and you're just doing, fulfilling your own desires. You have a vision, a dream in you that you want to follow. I want to be this. When you do those things, you're living life. But when you come to that point, and you understand whether, and this can come at salvation, this can come, but we can bug God even at salvation. When we have salvation, we're still trying to do our own thing. But we come to realization who God is in our hearts, that we need to turn our lives over to Him in that part, and we need to start doing what God's called us to do. And we start praying, we start working, we start growing up in the Lord, we start becoming faithful in our attendance, and all of a sudden, as the Lord's been watching us, all of a sudden that spiritual gift begins, and we don't even know when it begins, because sometimes God's working on it way beforehand. And all of a sudden, we're starting to do some of those things, and we realize that I think I'm gifted in that. God has gifted me in this area. And when we do that, we do it the right way, it will strengthen those around you that are believers. It will strengthen, and God will use it in the church. Too many times we want to use spiritual gifts for ourselves. We want to use them as a prideful thing. We want to think, well, I have the whole fivefold. The spiritual gifts, or I have this, I have six spiritual gifts, I have two. Let's worry about one first. Okay? Let's be concerned about one. Now, some of you may know that you might have two, you might have three, you may have more. But it comes as we grow in Christ. It comes as we walk forward in Christ. When you're missing in church and you're not here and you have a spiritual gift, that means the church, but when you stop, when a person who's gifted and they know it and they're using their gift in the church and they just kind of weigh off and they kind of start stepping to the side, do you think that hurts the church? Of course it hurts the church, because here it's supposed to be edifying, causes growth. And so people with those spiritual gifts, they get selfish and they run off and they do what they want to do, and it's not always that hurts the church. Let me move on. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So as we know that we have a spiritual gift, we know that we have great responsibility to, one, know what it is. And number two, to guard it in our hearts, to get better at it, to pray and know what God's call, and this will reveal God's purpose in your life. Part of those gifts will reveal God's purpose in your life. Some people have the gift of service. And those are the people you never have to ask to do anything. They're always there. They always show up serving all the time. It's amazing to watch people in their spiritual gifts. It's also sometimes a little... It's amazing to watch them sometimes when people don't realize what spiritual gift that they have. And it's amazing to see them work it, yet they have not realized that they're working in their spiritual gift. Because it's the Holy Spirit working through you. We move down to verse 20, but you have not seen... I want to share something about the people of Ephesus. People of Ephesus, when they began to... That church began to grow, they were a very strong church. They began to do really good. I mean, they were just doing a lot of things. And they did them well. And they have good theology. They had strong doctrine. And how do we know that? We know that through some of the scriptures here in Ephesians. But we also know that in Revelations. When there's a piece about the seven churches where Ephesus is spoken about. And they were a very, very strong church. And they were very hard workers. But there was one thing that this church lacked. This is one thing this church dropped. They let everything come to the top, and here's the key. Jesus says, you do everything well. But you do you're missing this one thing. You pretty much forgot who you're doing it for. You've forsaken your first love, which is the Lord. So I want to let you know that these spiritual gifts cannot become in your relationship more than your relationship with the Lord. No matter what kind of ministry you do, whatever the spiritual gift, it cannot become a little G in your life. It cannot become a little idol in your life. Because if it's a little G or a little idol, it can become a big G and a big I, and it doesn't need to be there. So our spiritual gifts are important for us because God's given them to us. But we need to remember, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct and the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. He's challenging them to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. The spiritual gifts continue to draw us together, not apart. Together, not apart. When the church is working at sometimes it's very, very best, you'll see two things happening. And then there'll be a third once it's accomplished. Number one, there's got to be prayer. Number two, people begin to work in their giftedness for an accomplishment. So they pray for an accomplishment, what God has put upon them, whatever the leader, whatever it may be. And you can look at Nehemiah. It began all through prayer. When Nehemiah heard about the news, he prayed. When he went before the king, he prayed. He would pray. He would go off in there and look at the ruins, and he would pray. So prayer is the first. Number two is getting together with people, as he did with the people of that area. They began to rebuild the walls, and people were working in their giftedness. And number three, when it's all said and done, then there's a moment of worship. There's a time of worship and celebration. We can pray, and we can pray, and we can pray. We can do the worship, but if the work don't get done, there's nothing to celebrate. There has to be a working with the spiritual gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. I know what some of mine are, but I don't believe everyone has all of them. We can do acts of humility, but it doesn't mean that we're gifted in humbleness and humility, right? But verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We might think, what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, what comes with spiritual gifts means a lot of responsibility. We can become angry with people who are not working as fast as we are. We can become angry with people because we might teach a class and they don't understand. We may be trying to help someone, and they don't want what we have to offer them. And we need to remember, there's a place that you can be angry. There's a time to be angry, but you don't do it in sin. Okay? When Jesus came through the temple and he started tipping over everybody's tables, it doesn't mean he was going crazy and he sinned through that. No, there's a time that you can be angry, but you don't do it in sin. Okay? And also, the second part of that, it says that do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Because I'm telling you go to bed on it, you're not sleeping. Have y'all been there? You go to bed angry, you wake up angry. And you wake up miserable because you didn't get a good night's rest. What does that mean? That means I need to have a talk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I need to work it out with him first. I need to get something settled in my heart, and sometimes it's not always the other person, but you may deal with that later, but sometimes it's the roaring rage storm that's in your life, and there's only one that I know that can calm a storm, and his name is Jesus. The physical storm and the raging storm that's inside of us. And verse 27, nor give place to the devil. It don't work well when we're trying to work and serve the Lord with our ministry gifts, and then we give a place. That means we give a place inside of our life for the devil to work. It is Not a good thing. This is why I've seen some wise men do. This is why I've seen some wise men be very gifted in something and say, for a moment, they've had to step away from their serving the Lord in some aspect because they've had some sin in their life and they need to deal with it because they did give place to the devil. And that is not a your ministry will not be. I don't want to use the word successful, but it will not do what God's wanted it to do if we have sin in our life and we're trying to be who all God wants us to be. There's a difference when we sin, and there's a difference when we have sin, that we commit a sin, but there's also a difference when we let the devil have a place where he sets up resident, where he begins to use certain things in our life, and he begins to use us. The spiritual gifts is what I want to get you tonight. A couple of things. Number one, each one of you that are believer in Christ have a spiritual gift. Number two, with that spiritual gift, you have a responsibility to the Lord. Why? You're here on this earth. You have a responsibility to the Lord to work in that spiritual gift. To understand that it is not yours to be greedy and to make your name great, but to be edifying, the uplifting of the local church and the kingdom of God. We need people, and even in this church, to know. You need to know what your spiritual gift is. Now, there are spiritual gift assessment tests that you can look online. Some of them are okay. Some of them are good. But if you know the spiritual gifts enough, and you know the scriptures enough, you can make yourself have anything. You know what I'm saying? You can fill in the bubble, and you can make yourself, because you know the definition, and once you do, you'll figure it out that every third question represents this. It doesn't take long. After you take a couple assessments, you need to stop, because after that, you'll be gearing and leaning towards something that you're trying to lean toward to make yourself feel like you have, but you don't have. Tonight, I'm going to challenge you up to January 1st, because when I go into January, it will be about spiritual gifts, okay? We're going to be talking about them individually through the whole month. We're going to be talking about those spiritual gifts, what they mean, what they represent, how God uses them. There's also an opposite. I'll give you one example before I close out, because I'm going to end early today. An opposite would be some people have the gift of giving, right? Some people just have the gift of giving. They just love to give. How that person can get in the way of God's work is they always want to give everything and help everybody, but God's doing something and chastising and disciplining one of his children, and somebody with the gift of giving, just they're not paying attention, they're not praying about who they're supposed to help, they just want to help everybody, and they want to give, and God's doing a work on that individual, so your gift can get in the way of what God is trying to do when you're trying to use your gift in your own power. Okay, we're going to talk about that stuff in January, but tonight, I want you to start praying about what spiritual gift has God given to me. Number one, I'm not going to tell you that. I was going to bring you the list and put it up on the screen. Matter of fact, it's on my laptop. No, I'm not going to do that. You can look at the scriptures that I just read tonight. There was a list of them in Ephesians. There was a list of them in 1 Corinthians. There's a list. There's a few more lists throughout the scriptures. But just start talking. What it will do, it will start causing you to pray about, start causing you to pray. And as you pray, ask God to reveal what that spiritual gift is in your life. Once you become knowing what that spiritual gift is, you need to know inside, outside, upside down, everything about that spiritual gift. Because if he's gifted you with it, don't you want to use it? Don't you want to learn? Don't you want to sharpen it? And you might be surprised that maybe God gave you another spiritual gift as well to accompany that. Some accompany one another. So we're going to close right now, and I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand up. We're going to pray, give you an opportunity tonight. And it's just you and just a few of us tonight, not a large crowd tonight at all. If you know what your spiritual gift is, maybe you might want to come down and just say, Lord, maybe I haven't used my spiritual gift as I should, or just asking you, Lord, I have a spiritual gift. This is what it is. And I'm asking you, Lord, what do I do with this spiritual gift? Or, Lord, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, but I want to know what it is, because that's kind of exciting that you gave me an awesome gift and I don't know what it is, and I want to know because I want to use it for you. And the spiritual gift is you're going to be good at it. You have an opportunity to be good at it. because it's a gift that comes from above. All you got to do is be willing, and God can do amazing things to one person who is just willing. Amen? Who here knows what their spiritual gifts are? At least one. Okay. Who here wants to know what their spiritual gift is? Want to know for sure? Yeah, God. Good. We should know. And you might be surprised as we go through this study that God is going to add another spiritual gift to your life. That you might serve Him in a way that He's been wanting you to serve Him for a long time. See, the Bible says we're going to lay some things down at Jesus' feet. Here it is. If He's, for me, He's called me to preach, so I need to lay that back at His feet. You know why? Because there don't need to be no preaching in heaven. The preacher is there, right? So I have to lay that gift back down. It'd be amazing to try to lay something down, you didn't know what you were laying down, right? It's a spiritual gift. So I don't know if we can take it past the gates of heaven or not. But I want my spiritual gift to be used and worn out. Worn out for His glory. Amen?